When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. And if you missed our conversation with one of the incredible female guests that had agreed to come on the show a second time, Ann Myers Drysdale, that'll be part of our podcast. She's a Basketball Hall of Famer. We had a chance to talk to her about the Suns and their task, Chris Paul and older athletes, the new ownership in Phoenix too, because if you remember, they recently had to change ownership and the culture change, she said, has been drastic. So good to get her thoughts on internally how different it is for her as a VP of the Suns and the Mercury, but also what the atmosphere is like with these new owners who are intent on winning. And we talked about Brittany Griner's return to the Mercury as well. So the insight that she offers, it's not just basketball, which is why I love having her on the show, because of the wealth of knowledge and experience, really the wisdom that she brings to the table, is having played basketball at the highest level and being the first female ever inducted into the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. So, man, what a resume she's got. And I would encourage you to go listen to the interview because it was a lot of fun, but also great insight. So that's part of our podcast. And every weekday morning, we post it on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. The basketball that we saw last night could have featured two series enders, and yet it did not. I made this reference earlier because I love The Amazing Race. These were non-elimination legs for both the Golden State Warriors and the New York Knicks. And I think for the Knicks, they played their best game of the series. The way that the Miami Heat played in the middle two quarters, really the first three quarters, if we're talking offensively, reminded me a lot of the regular season. That looked more like the Miami Heat, who at times in the regular season couldn't score to save their lives. That's what it felt like to start. Now, eventually they got some shots to drop, but this was their worst offensive game of this series. And we hadn't seen this a lot from Miami during the playoffs. Really, it's been the complete opposite of what we got from them during the regular season. They were one of the worst offensive teams in the NBA in the regular season, but they haven't been that way in eliminating Milwaukee and taking the lead they had over the New York Knicks. A little bit more of the form we saw in the regular season from Miami. No player over 20 points, including Jimmy Butler. Poor guy had to answer questions about whether or not he scored enough for them to win. But they were held to 103 points. Now, I would say you can credit the defense by the Knicks partly, but really there were some wide open shots that Miami missed. And still, with all of that, the Heat nearly turned this into one of their greatest comebacks of the season. The Knicks led by 20 points in this one. They outscored the Heat by 20 in the second and third quarters. And then the shots start dropping, and all of a sudden, it's a whole lot hotter under the collar.
Duncan the drive, kicks it out top to Lowry, pump fake, back to Duncan. Stayed on a toe. They think he traveled. He didn't. Got it to Martin. To Lowry for three. Splash! Kyle Lowry. Pushing closer for Miami. The jumper from the bottom of the circle. It's short. Bam gets his own rebound. Knocks it to Jimmy. To Duncan for three. Got it! Duncan Robinson is here, everybody. It's his neighborhood. Left side. Splashdown. Butler with a rock. Working right side. Mid-range. Jumper and nothing but net. Mr. Mid-range. Jimmy G. Buckets. It might be go time.
Jason Jackson on Miami Heat Radio. And actually, the Heat pulled within two of the Knicks late with some hot shooting. Now, the Knicks were able to rely on multiple scoring options last night. So they also look different than what we've seen from them in the playoffs. Julius Randle with a really strong game. Didn't foul out in this one either. Looked less frustrated. You also got another real strong scoring performance from RJ Barrett. I like the way that he's playing in this postseason. And then Jalen Brunson. He was the catalyst. He was also the closer.
Brunson foul on floater. Gets the bounce. Brunson with 37. Knicks by 6. 4 and change to go. Randle. 8 to shoot. In the corner. Couldn't get free. Bounce to Barrett. 4 to shoot. Barrett up top. 2 to shoot. Barrett drives. 1 to shoot. The runner. No. Slam follow. Isaiah Hartenstein. Knicks by 4 with 2-8 left. Robinson. Short. Rebound. Knocked away by Randle. Lays it up. Lays it in. He snatched it from Lowry with 17.8 to go. And they're going bonkers at the Garden.
That's Ed Cohen on Knicks Radio. Yeah, a lot of celebrities again at Madison Square Garden, though I didn't notice if Aaron Rodgers was on camera. Maybe he's decided he's better off focusing on football or just his days of being a celebrity in the Big Apple. It's not as much fun after one or two games on the big screen.
People are coming here to play with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. The Knicks really relied heavily on Jalen Brunson, who played all 48 minutes. And when he wasn't scoring 38 points, he had 9 rebounds. He had 7 assists. I was impressed with his control. When he's got the basketball, turnovers are unlikely. He had 1 in this game. He played 48 minutes, and he had 1 turnover versus the 7 assists. Now, there were plenty of turnovers for the Knicks. They got a little sloppy there in the late stages, and they paid for it. Well, I don't want to call it a stat because it's two stats, but this particular element of the game jumped out at me, and so I have to share it with you. The Knicks gave up 29 points off their turnovers, meaning the Heat scored 29 points off the Knicks' turnovers. That is a lot of freaking points. But do you know where else 29 points came into play? The Knicks also made 29 free throws. Isn't that odd? Totally canceled each other out. So they get 29 points at the free throw line. Oh my gosh, 29 of 40. They shot 40 free throws. That is too many for an NBA playoff game. But regardless, they made 29 free throws, but they also gave up 29 points off their turnovers. I mean, what's the point of working that hard? Why bother? Anyway, Jalen Brunson, he's steady Eddie. He's got burst. He's got explosiveness. He obviously can score. Best game that he's had to this point, and they needed every last bit of it to extend the series.
Well, what can you say about the guy? He's just incredible, you know, all-around player, great leader, great toughness, mental toughness, physical toughness, ability to think on his feet, ability to lead, just to, you know, have the wherewithal, and they're, you know, putting a lot of heat on him. And he just makes the right play every time.
That's JB. That's what he's been doing all year. You know, ultimately, you know, at the core of who he is, he's a competitor, and he wants to win. So, you know, he left it all out there tonight and carried us in a big way. So, you know, it takes everybody. He was big time, though.
Brunson is a great competitor. You have to respect that. We have great competitors in our locker room. This is what the playoffs are about. It's pure competition.
Eric Spoelstra, before that, Julius Randle, who himself also had a strong game. So, yeah, if the Knicks can get this much offense from their triumvirate, can we call them the big three? Everyone's a big three these days. If they can get 24 from Randall and they can get 26 from Barrett and then they can get 38 from Brunson, great. Except they still get very little from their bench. And this is not a formula that will win you a championship. It's not. But on this night, the defense and the fact that Miami shot so poorly for the most part, the threes weren't really dropping, but they didn't hit the open shots when they needed to. And by the time they dug out of a 20-point hole, it was really difficult just to get over that hump. The Knicks certainly had the edge. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the crazy part, well, there's so much crazy stuff going on these days in the playoffs, but the part that was kind of nutso is that Miami was locked in defensively in the first quarter, holding the Knicks to 14 points. But as much as it was the defense, because that's the calling card of the Heat, I kind of felt like the Knicks were tight a little bit, maybe feeling the pressure, recognizing the magnitude. They're on their own court. They're in front of these fans that have high expectations. To me, it felt like they were pressing a little bit. And so, yeah, they started slow, but were able to pick it up in the second and third quarters.
I don't want to say be like ease into the game, but just things weren't going our way. And we were complaining as a team, and then we decided to just, wow. And we just got to just play through it, and I got to just go through everything and not really worry about all that stuff. And we just found a way to keep sticking together.
Mm, yeah, Jalen Brunson actually says they were complaining as a team. Probably not what you want to be doing when you're facing elimination. I love the addition that he's been to the Knicks for a lot of reasons. But a steady guy, right? The ability to control the basketball, to control the flow. And he hasn't had any trouble adjusting to the New York stage. Miami still has major advantage. I would expect that they're going to be better offensively coming up at home. But for now, Knicks live to fight another day. As do the Golden State Warriors, and we'll get to that coming up. With the, since I mentioned this earlier, I definitely want you to hear it. Jimmy Butler was asked whether or not he scored enough for them to win. Which is kind of an odd question. They didn't win, so the answer is no. But is it all on him? Is it up to Jimmy Butler? I don't know. Jimmy Butler is the reason that they're still alive in the playoffs at all, actually. But yeah, it's just a seemingly an odd question since nobody on the Heat was over 20 points.
Doesn't matter if I score 40 or 50, 19 or 9. We always have enough to win. And if I score 10 points next game and we win, that won't be an issue and it won't be a question. And I will continue to play the right way. I was making all the right plays. I'm not a scorer anyways. So, you know what? I don't know how many I had, like 19 or something like that. That's enough for us to win. If we make a couple more shots, I don't think that question's asked the exact same way.
I agree with him in this particular question is, what is, of course it was enough for them to win. What about all the other people that missed shots? Just weird. But as he points out, they pulled within two there in the fourth quarter. I think my favorite part of it, though, was I'm not really a scorer anyway. What? Interesting.
I'm not a scorer anyways. So
what are you if you're not a scorer? Doesn't mean it's your number one focus or you're the best in the league at it, but you sure the heck are a scorer. Reluctantly. Gosh. Oh, that's why it's triggering my brain. Do you remember when Albert Pujols tried to convince people he was a line drive hitter and not a home run hitter? That goes back a few years. So I realize it's been a while and maybe people don't remember it. But I remember it because I joked about it on the air. Albert Pujols told us he's not a home run hitter. He's a line drive hitter. Now, granted, some of his line drives were home runs, but the man has 700 home runs.
He only hit 1,400 if he was a home run hitter. I mean,
That's what I thought of when Jimmy said, I'm not really a scorer anyway.
I'm not a scorer anyways.
Yeah. Just, it happens. I got the basketball in my hands a bunch, so it happens. Without his scoring, Miami wouldn't still be alive.
Hell no.
On the cusp of advancing to a third Eastern Conference Finals in 4 years. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. Good to have you with us. It's a Thursday morning. Wowzers. We can almost say happy almost Friday. Almost. Not yet. Jay and I don't say it until we get to the afternoon and one of us wakes up first and texts the other one. It's usually me, just so you know.
Usually.
Jay doesn't have a dog and a cat waking him up. And actually, if the dog tried to wake him up, he would just ignore the dog.
Yeah, I'd close the door immediately.
Must be nice. Must be really nice to have no responsibilities. Well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Chris Haynes is reporting that Anthony Davis has been escorted away in a wheelchair.
What?
For further evaluation.
Boy, yeah, I mean, obviously he must have had a concussion or something. So he got hit in the head that way. And so obviously it wasn't just a poke in the eye. He did get hit in the head really hard. So it could be a concussion when you see that kind of a blow to the head. And he has 36, 48-something hours to get ready for Friday if he can play.
Obviously, everyone saw he took a shot to the head, but he got just checked in on him. He's doing, seems to be doing really good already. So that's just where it's at. That's the status of it right now.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The report from Chris B. Haynes after the game between the Lakers and the Warriors, even though Anthony Davis did leave the arena in a wheelchair, that on Lakers radio with John Ireland and Michael Thompson, he appears to have avoided a concussion. That's what Chris Haynes reported. Not exactly sure where it came from. His sources were telling him that Anthony Davis appears to have avoided a concussion. But no doubt they're going to put him through the various testing in advance of game number 6 in Los Angeles to be sure that he is cleared to play and he can move forward and does not have a concussion. It would obviously be a major blow to the Lakers, but more importantly, got to be sure that he's okay to be out there. And what is a contact sport sometimes? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This is a game in which I wondered if it was going to happen again, if the Warriors were going to build a double-figure lead and then poof, it was going to disappear. Whether because their shooting went cold or because they were turning the ball over. But the difference in this game for the Warriors is that it wasn't the Splash Brothers. It wasn't Steph Curry who was providing all of the offense. No, in fact, Steph and Klay did not shoot well. Steph shot 50% from inside, most of that from inside the arc, though. From deep, he did not shoot well. He had a couple of critical threes. One of them was a 30-footer that beat the buzzer before halftime. He had another one late in which he was in the corner and kind of almost fell out of bounds. But he only hit 3 of his, I think he took 11 or 12 of them. Klay once again had another tough shooting night. So it wasn't those two and the classic bombs away mentality that have made the Warriors real popular. No, actually, this was Draymond Green, and it was Andrew Wiggins, and it was Gary Payton. It was the other guys, if you will, who made the greatest impact and who did it early on. And remember, all 5 of these guys, now we know about the core, of course, but even Gary and Andrew, those guys were part of their championship run a year ago.
Curry dribbles on Schroeder. Left-hand dribble on.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are leading change, building a team, or implementing new procedures, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Organizational Leadership gives you the tools for success. With concentrations in change, global, and servant leadership, you'll get the most relevant training and education to help you tackle any challenge. Visit gonzaga.edu/leader and find out how Gonzaga's organizational leadership degree can affect positive change in your life and career. That's gonzaga.edu/leader.
Away, held off, Schroeder got a layup. Timeout LA. The Warriors try to keep their season alive, and they lead 91-75. Shoveled over to Curry. Pump fake. Dribble drive on Davis. Cruising across the paint. Spins back to his left. Takes a 17-footer with no time on the shot clock buzzer.
My goodness.
The calmness and coolness of the old term, the cat burglar.
Yeah, that's what special players do.
Curry pump fake. Looney gets it. Hand off back to Curry. Curry trapped in the corner. Has Reeves on his back. Nowhere to go. Shot clock at three. Up top to Clay. Dribble drive by Clay over to Draymond. He'll take a jumper. It's up and good. Draymond knocked it down. He's got 20 points.
So the Draymond Green aspect of this was humongous. Not only was he active, playing defense, really being a pain in the side of the Lakers, but he actually contributed a double-double with 20 points and 10 rebounds. Andrew Wiggins had 25 and 7. And the confidence that makes this team the toughest out in sports, well, them and the Kansas City Chiefs. I could say the same thing about Kansas City. They're such a tough out because they're impervious to pressure and because they have not and will not face any situation on the basketball court that they haven't dealt with 100 times before. I mean, there's no shortcut to experience. These guys have so much. And actually, Draymond was feeling generous about his coach following the game when he was asked about their confidence in facing elimination.
Number one, we have a coach who's one of the greatest winners in NBA history. And you lean on him in situations like this. His calmness, everyone feels that. And then it starts up top, right? Steph's calmness. And it goes on down the line. And I think for us, anytime it's kind of going astray, you just always lean back on what you know that works, on your foundation. And for us, it's just getting back to the basics, but most importantly, competing at the highest level that we can compete at. And, we trust and believe in ourselves. And as far as, win one, we did that.
I was calm mostly just because you remember just to have fun and enjoy this experience and the opportunity that we have to play at this level. Like, we're competitors and you hate to lose and you're doing everything you can to avoid that feeling. And even down 3-1, like, you understand what's at stake and what the consequences are if you lose another game. We're still living in that, but it's still reminding yourself to enjoy this, enjoy the competition, enjoy the work that goes into preparing yourself mentally and physically for, each game. And then you allow yourself to get lost in the game that way. I think that's the best way to kind of approach it based on all the experiences that we've had. So, we have a lot of confidence that we can come back in this series. And until otherwise, we stay in that kind of mindset.
Yeah, they've got so much of it. Now, LeBron does too, though. LeBron and Anthony Davis, both champions, and LeBron's got multiple rings, so he's in the same situation where these types of games, not a closeout for the Lakers, but it is one of those where the pressure's a little different. If you don't close out game six at home, well, then you have to go back to the Chase Center. And whether or not you have Anthony Davis, nobody's going to feel sorry for you, right? So I do love the fact that these two teams have the championship pedigree, both of them, or at least their core players do.
that we have another opportunity. Obviously, they, you know, played exceptionally well here tonight, and you know, we had some good moments, but you know, not as close to 48 minutes as we needed to be. But we had another opportunity on Friday, and we look forward to the matchup again.
Yeah, so it's got to be, I think, a confidence builder for the entire locker room that the Warriors didn't cough up another double-figure lead in this one. The Lakers never really threatened, and the fact that they got such a strong offensive push from an aggressive Draymond Green and from an Andrew Wiggins, who was so instrumental in their winning a title last year, but not just that, Gary Payton, who was in the starting lineup for defense, that's his forte. With the steals and the keeping his opponent in front of him, like D'Angelo Russell, and I mean, Lakers have got some really good guards. But yeah, when you get a 20-point game from Dre, when he's that aggressive, he was going down the lane. He did take, I think he had 1-3, and it was early in the game. For the most part, though, he was seeking the rim. He was trying to get the high percentage shots and really force the issue at the Lakers.
I told him every play he made tonight, like, I love that aggressive, you know, nature, because it just keeps the defense honest, and he's capable of making plays. So the first three was big to kind of get everybody's morale up, the emotions high. But then he was assertive, you know, getting into the paint, finishing at the rim, hit a big shot in the fourth off of kind of a late second broken play. Timely baskets, and you have to keep the defense honest so they can't kind of load up, you know, other places.
Friday night, game 6 in Los Angeles. And then if necessary, and I don't know if it will be necessary, but the NBA is playing fast and loose with their scheduling, because there'll be no games on Saturday, regardless of what happens tonight. And so tonight we've got games in Philadelphia and Phoenix. Both the Nuggets and the Sixers could close out here. Of course, that was the case last night. It didn't happen. But then there will be no games on Saturday. The NBA has scheduled 3 Game 7s for Sunday, if they're necessary. Chances are they won't all be. But 3 of them on Sunday, and then Heat-Knicks not until Monday. I wonder if that will change if they don't end up with 3 Game 7s on Sunday. Now, they wouldn't be able to do that. It's probably something to do with the arena. I wouldn't be surprised if it had to do with Madison Square Garden and whatever else. Well, it's not the Rangers.
Oh, ouch.
Is it too soon?
No.
It can't be too soon.
Yeah, still hurts.
Okay, sorry about that.
Maybe it's Taylor Swift.
Maybe it is Taylor Swift. She is on I forgot the name of the Eras tour.
Oh, I don't know.
Eras, maybe. A friend of mine the friend that I went to Arizona with to hike the Grand Canyon, she went on 2 consecutive weekends. First, saw the one in Dallas where she lives. Oh, no, actually, I think she went to Houston for it. First went to Houston, and then went to Atlanta the following weekend.
She's a Swiftie?
Well, she's...
Sounds expensive.
She's more than that. Yeah, it definitely does sound expensive. No way. Well, let's check. Let's see if we can Google Sunday night at Madison Square Garden and see what's going on. I'll bet that's the reason. It is a little odd, though, to give them an extra day off. Yeah, and we were talking about this earlier. On the day the NFL releases its schedule, and it's this made-for-TV event, the NBA has 5 weeks to play with between now and what could be a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. Okay, so they already know the dates for the NBA Finals, and they've really put all the dates in place for Conference Finals as well. But it cracks me up that we're talking about now thinking if these series, these semifinals, all end this weekend, which they would, either Sunday or Monday. Still, though, over a month to get through Conference Finals and then NBA Finals. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? So they're about to stretch it out. It's not going to be every other day. They got a long way to go before June 18th, which is Father's Day, and would be a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. What are you laughing at in there?
So Theo Vaughn, a comedian, has booted the Knicks from the Garden on Sunday night.
Are you sure it's the actual Garden and not one of the ancillary
Ooh,
theaters?
Good.
You know, there are multiple theaters around Madison Square Garden, so I'm Maybe it's not the actual.
You are absolutely right.
I was going to say, I can't imagine a comedian being on stage at MSG, like in MSG. That place is enormous. It's great for concerts, like acoustics, but I can't imagine a comedian being.
There has, Adam Sandler will do it now and then.
Really?
Yeah, he's done it. Dane Cook, I don't know if you know that name. He's not that popular anymore, but he used to do it maybe about 10 years ago.
A comedian would sell out 18,000 seats?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's tough to do.
Impressive.
Yeah,
it's next
Theo's
level.
Actually at the Beacon Theater. So.
Mm-hmm. So we don't know what's happening at MSG.
As in terms of this website, which is MSG and all the affiliate theaters, there's nothing at the actual Garden on Sunday night. Only Monday is scheduled Knicks.
Then maybe it's broadcasting. It's about the how, like, their broadcast partners and how many games that they can manage in one day versus blah, blah, blah. Yeah, now the NBA gets creative. I'm telling you, we've got 5 weeks to go between now and what would be the end of the NBA finals.
The next season's going to start before we get this champion.
All right, what else do we want to do? Well, a little bit of baseball. A milestone for one of the top closers in the game. I should say one of the longest tenured closers in the game. And, I hesitate to launch into any football because we don't have a ton of time, but Andy Reid was a guest on the New Heights podcast with Travis and Jason Kelce, and he had a couple of fun revelations, so maybe we'll save some of it. But did you know that Andy Reid was a gymnast? No, really? That's what he said.
That was beautiful.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Pitch swung on and hit high in the air to center. Back goes Ruiz, way back on the track at the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Anthony Volpe grand slam into deep left center and break this game wide open. Anthony Volpe, spectacolo Oji.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What? I must have misheard that. I'm right.
Anthony Volpe, spectacolo Oji.
All right, I screw up all the time on the air, so maybe that's what it was from John Sterling on the Yankees radio network. John Sterling's not the focus here. This is really about the rookie, Anthony Volpe, with a grand slam against the A's, his first career grand slam. Yankees piling on Oakland. Everyone piles on Oakland these days, but what a neat moment for him. And the Yankees can use all of that, whether rookie, whether Aaron Judge, who's back in the lineup, they need all the offense and then some.
The way we've played last week has been way better than, I guess, it was in that little rough stretch. But regardless of the results, I mean, we're starting to kind of start trending towards better results, per se. But I feel like if we keep playing this brand of baseball, we'll be just fine.
Well, why does it matter? Because they head into a four-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays, best in baseball. And here are the Yanks. They've got three consecutive wins for the first time this season. Certainly not the way they started out last year. Completely the opposite. But there's a lot that's different from a year ago. For instance, the Mets have Justin Verlander. See, that's different. And he was on the mound last night and actually was able to pitch past the sixth inning. And so a big deal for him. Pete Alonso, he now leads the majors, or is it the league? Which one? League, majors. I don't keep track of numbers this early in the baseball season, but he's at least tops in the National League in home runs. So the Mets would also like to be able to find a groove.
My effort level was outstanding.
Right, right. With my apologies to both of those guys, Pete and Justin, also certainly Anthony Volpe with a Kalasalawoji, or whatever that was. I don't know what that was.
Anthony Volpe, spectacolo Oji.
I still don't get it.
Oji, I believe in Italian, means today. So Anthony Volpe is spectacular today? Is that what he's trying to say?
Is that spectacular in Italian? Italiano?
Yeah, that sounds about
spectacolo.
Right.
Spectacolo. Spectacolo Oji. Whatever. Okay.
Spectacolo Oji.
All right. My apologies to John Sterling, too. I think this story needs a lot more attention. Kyle Farmer, who's an infielder for the Twins, I don't know if you guys remember this, he took a fastball to his face going back in April. He's actually been activated off the 10-day injured list, but forget the 10 days. This was longer than 10 days. This hurts me just thinking about it. He had a procedure to, Jay, are you ready? Realign a bunch of the teeth in his bottom jaw. And then he, of course, had to get some sutures on his lower lip because it was split open. But in order to realign his bottom teeth, are you ready? I'm sorry, this is awful for first thing in the morning, but I'm so impressed that Farmer's gone through this and is about to play baseball again. 35 stitches, and I think I'd rather have 35 stitches than 4 root canals.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Which would you rather have? 35 stitches in your lip and your mouth, or 4 root canals?
The stitches. 4 root canals is way too many. If it was 2...
One root canal is way too many.
Stitches, I feel like, would bother me in my mouth just personally. I feel like they would just drive me crazy. The root canals, at least, like, you get it done and it's over with. But...
Oh, my gosh.
4 is aggressive.
That's so we ridiculous. Maybe need to get... There's audio. He did audio with a local TV station for tomorrow. I don't mean right now. But apparently, he thought he was swallowing his bottom teeth. Like, that's how, because he got, his face got smashed in there, mm-hmm. and it felt like his teeth were shoved back into, oh, seriously, there's no man tougher on the planet right now than Kyle Farmer.
He could have choked on his own teeth.
He could have choked on his own teeth. I don't, what would happen? Would they pump his stomach to get his teeth?
I don't know.
What would happen to the teeth? Would they come out the other end?
Probably.
Intact? Why are we having this conversation right now? Sorry.
Besides Aaron.
Kyle, no, it's not like Aaron. This man nearly died with a fastball to the face and had to have 4 root canals and 35 stitches, and you're comparing him to Aaron Rodgers in the darkness retreat?
A little bit.
Knock it off. I'm so impressed with Kyle Farmer. We need to get this audio from him for tomorrow's show. That would be really amazing. Also, he's really amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, just goodness. I'm not even sure how to move forward from that. I don't know what to do now. Except think about how I'd rather have 35 stitches. Oh, you already grabbed it? Okay, producer Jay, he grabbed some Kyle Farmer for us.
I'm feeling good physically and emotionally. You know, I kind of feel like I'm making my debut again. I'm excited to get back out there with the guys and have fun and hopefully win some ball games.
What have the last couple of weeks been like for you in terms of balancing the reality of what happened with your desire to come back to the sport?
There was some frustration, but I mean, knowing that it was out of my control is what helped me the most. You know, I have a great support system with my wife and my son at home and Aww. My parents back at home in Atlanta, and they would always check in on me, and guys on the team would always check in on me too. So it was like I never left the team. So that's what helped out a lot. And coming back, it's just, you know, it's an easy clubhouse to come back to. So it's very nice.
Is that TV Channel 11?
So that was actually on Bally Sports North.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My fault. He also spoke to a local TV station. So Bally Sports North. Thank you, producer Jay, for grabbing that. Kyle Farmer's my new hero. We'll see if we can get more about the actual experience because he does describe it. Again, we'll do that on our next show. But yeah, wowzers. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know. Should we even... Can we talk Andy Reid in gymnastics after that? Okay, we're gonna. Just because I need to finish on a high note. That was tough. So Andy Reid was on the New Heights podcast with his tight end, Travis Kelce, along with his brother, Jason. And don't ask me how this came up, but they asked him whether or not he's ever done a backflip in his life.
Believe it or not, I took gymnastics class.
What? I knew it.
I did.
I knew
how long?
It.
Yeah, that was about how high I got right there. Yeah, it was good. You know, we did the trampoline and the backflips, and then did it into the pit.
Yeah,
ooh, the foam.
That's where you started off.
So I'm in college, and you know, all the pretty girls were on the gymnastics team. And I had to do it right in front of them. You know, they were working out.
Did you nail it?
I kind of did.
Yeah, not surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's those done days, backflips before.
Those days are over, though.
Okay, now, do you guys remember the video they trotted out every so often of Andy Reid participating in the punt, pass, and kick? And he was 13 years old, and he was a giant among small children, right? A giant. That's why they show this video over and over again, because he was so much bigger than all the other kids, all the other early teens. Could you imagine that guy in college doing a backflip? Or participating in gymnastics?
Beautiful.
He said all the pretty girls were gymnasts in college. But at 13, he was already Goliath. But I love Andy Reid so much, but that does not compute.
No. You know how like some bigger guys are like really nimble and like graceful? Mm. He does not strike me as one
well,
of
okay.
them.
The Andy Reid is what, in his 60s now?
Yeah, I mean, but that picture you're talking about, that old video, did he look, he was gigantic in that.
Be nice. Don't be a bully.
He would have been my friend.
I was going to say, I would have been his friend. I was friend with all the people that didn't fit into any other groups because I didn't fit into any group. But still though, backflips? Andy Reid impressing the female gymnast in college? That's, and putt, pass, and kick. All of that on the New Heights
Just
podcast. All right, we'll do more football. Schedule release coming up this morning, so we'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!